This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome to The Garden Show. Yes, indeed. It's a very magical day, December 23rd. Santa's warming up his sleigh. The reindeer are having a big, you know, big feast because they've got a long night ahead of them in a mere, 2 days, 48 hours. So we're looking forward to Christmas. And I'd just like to take this moment to wish everybody a happy and merry and healthy Christmas. Dean is hopefully going to be able to join us at some point. Dear Santa, I hope that a new computer for Dean is in your sleigh and that you drop it at his house so that next Saturday we'll be good to go. He has a pretty old computer and he has so many responsibilities that it's just, I think, a big deal for him to get a new one. And he needs a new one, I think. I think that's part of our issue here. He's up in Collingwood frantically trying to connect, and I'm in my home office in Prince Edward County where it's a rather gloomy day, very overcast, very pale gray sky, but I've still got snow. I don't know about anybody out there, but I am not at this point looking at green. So I'm fingers crossed, hoping it's not going to rain and we will keep that snow for the next few days. But I don't think that's in the forecast. So that's where we are with that. We don't. Dean, but I could hear you. So you're, I see him and I can hear him, but he can't hear us, unfortunately. So phone numbers, I would love to hear from you. And I'd love to hear what's going on in your garden. Any tips, any tricks? Phone numbers. If you are local, the phone number is 416-360-0740. That's local to the Toronto area, GTA. If you're outside of that area, the long distance number, free at no cost to you, is 866-740-4740. Happy to hear from you. And like I said, anything that's going on in your garden, anything new and exciting, I do have a couple of good emails that I'll share with you. But for now, let's just go to a break and we'll be right back after these important messages.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And welcome back to The Garden Show on Zoomer Radio with Charlie Dobbin, aided and abetted by yours truly, Dean Holland. And Charlie, we are on Christmas, well, the day before Christmas Eve weekend, I call it. And we are going to take our first caller. We're going to Newmarket, and we have Jean on the line. Welcome to The Garden Show, Jean.
Good morning, and Merry Christmas to both of you.
Thank you.
Charlie, I have a question that's not Christmas plants. I'd love to have a Hoya plant. Now, I'm not saying it right. I knew you'd know everything. The waxy leaves and the waxy flower.
Yeah. Okay.
So I know I'll do that in the spring, but how do I start? Where do I buy a good one, and how do I keep it alive?
Good question. Where do you buy a good one in Newmarket? Well, you definitely have some good garden centers around you. Though, you know, I don't see Hoyas for sale very often.
No.
You may, yeah. Do you know anybody who has a Hoya?
No.
Maybe somebody who's listening. Or maybe your local garden. Do you belong to the Newmarket Horticultural or Garden Society by any chance?
No, but don't ask. I belong to the Bradford one. Oh, I could ask them, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's fairly active. And that's a good point. Bradford greenhouses, they would probably have Hoya for sale, you know, up north mm-hmm. of you there. There's a big operation they would likely have. And it, the thing that I think people love the most, well, two things people love about Hoya. One is it's a very low maintenance plant, so easy to have in the house, assuming you've got a nice bright window in which to place the plant. They need lots of light. The other reason I think it's so popular is it's fragrant. When it blooms, it's very sweet smelling. So it's a an easy plant. It grows mostly as a vine, as a trailing plant. So you put it up on top of an étagé or into a hanging basket of some kind so that it is allowed to send out long runners. And those crazy long runners, of course, is where you end up with the flowers. So you've got to allow this plant to really do its thing in terms of how it grows. So here's the bottom line when it comes to Hoya, when you're talking about how to be successful. Of course, it's vigorous. The twining stems can reach up to 15 feet or more long. So you can also train on a wire or a trellis. Sometimes it will grow in a ring or a heart because it'll be trained onto a wire stand. The new stems are bare. The leaves appear later. When they do, they're fleshy, they're green. Sometimes they're green and white. You can get variegated Hoya as well. And so it's a late spring. The flower heads appear between late spring and early autumn. So here are the secrets of success. So just regular room temperature, nothing fancy. In the winter, it prefers cooler temperatures, as many plants do. It helps them just slow them down a bit and be semi-dormant. So it's 50, 55 Fahrenheit in the winter, if you can. Bright light. Direct sun is fine, but certainly has to be bright. Water liberally from spring to autumn, very sparingly in winter. Again, if you've got those cool temperatures, less water is being used, so water very sparingly in winter. Mist the leaves regularly, but not when it's blooming. So that spritzer helps raise the humidity, and of course we don't want to get the flowers wet or we'll lose those. Repot if necessary in the spring, and of course it's very easy to grow from cuttings. That's why I said, do you know somebody with a Hoya? Because that would be the real way to make it happen, to have get your own plant. So never know, somebody listening in the Newmarket area might just send an email to me, which I could then mention on air, or you could send me an email and I'll let you know if I hear from anybody. But Bradford Greenhouses certainly comes to mind. Alrighty.
Thank you. What kind of soil, if you're saying repot eventually?
Well, I mean, it's just one of those good quality, potting mixes, right?
Okay.
Fresh, sterile, out of the bag, moist before you plant, and err on the side of well-drained as opposed to not as well-drained. Because again, those thick, waxy leaves tell you that this is a plant that wants to be in fairly dry conditions on the one hand, but watered thoroughly when it's watering time. So that's one of those, just like I say, a regular potting mix will work. Just make sure it's clean and never been used for any other plants.
Thank you. Thank you. You are amazing. Take care. Bye.
Thank you. You too. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Time for us to take one more of our short commercial breaks. Right back after this.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed. We are back here on The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Charlie, I'm going to give the numbers out again. And I'm sure, of course, this is one of the busier shopping weekends of the year. Everybody is out and about, hustle, bustle, getting last minute things, I suppose.
You want to hear a good, this is a really cool gift. If you've got a gardener that is, you're desperate to get a gift for them. And this just came into my computer this morning through, where'd it go? Oh, no, I'm not going to see it. Birds Canada. No, not that. The Cornell Lab. Remember how we've talked about Audubon Society, et cetera?
Yeah.
All right. So the Cornell Lab, and of course, it's a simple bird academy at birds.cornell.
Yeah.
They offer virtual bird lessons, and all kinds of different learning opportunities if you're a birder. So I was just looking at this. I thought this would be a cool thing. So for $20, I could get Elliot something called The Joy of Bird Watching right here from my computer. I don't have to go anywhere, and he can do his own lessons at his own pace, at his own time. I think it's six different lessons, and you know it's self independent study, so to speak.
And then Elliot and I could then chat about it, because I could do that too.
Exactly.
I'm fast becoming a birder.
I know. And of course, like you said, your kids are making fun of you. And of course, our kids are making fun of him too. So it might be just the perfect gift for that person on your list. Rather than racing off to a store, there's some cool stuff online.
Yeah. Now, I'm not going to ask it now. I do have a question about poinsettias before the show's over. But I want to give out the numbers before we go to our next caller. If you live in Toronto, use this number, 416-360-0740. Or if you live outside Toronto, anywhere in the province of Ontario, it's toll-free by using 1-866-740-4740. And we're going to go to our next caller, who's a first-time caller. We have Vincent on the line. Welcome to the Garden Show, Vincent.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm going to give you your garden wings, okay, sir? There you go, my friend. Thanks for being a first-time caller.
Thank you.
Welcome.
What do you got for Charlie there?
We have about half a dozen maple trees planted in our yard, and they have red leaves. I forget the name of the type of tree they are, but they're maple with red leaves.
Now, like red leaves all summer through the growing season?
Yes.
Yeah, purple. That's called Crimson King. It's a form of Norway maple.
Yeah, that's right. Now, one of them was a slow starter. In fact, when it was the size of a baseball bat, the main trunk died.
Mm-hmm.
But a shoot from down at ground level has developed into a pretty good-looking tree now.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed last summer that another shoot has come out at ground level, and it was about 8 feet tall, and it has green leaves. Why would that be?
Usually that's because a plant is grafted, so that what you see above ground is often the same genus, but it's a different cultivar. So you've got a green Norway maple below ground and a purple or red Norway maple above ground. And when you see that different color shooting from below ground, that is a sucker, what we call a sucker, growing off the root.
Oh, I see.
Your job, unless you see what happens when you have a graft like that, is that the graft is the weakest spot. So if that sucker continues to grow, like 8 feet is pretty big, it's been there for maybe a year or two, your job is to move the soil aside, down, follow that stem, that sucker stem, right down to where it's coming off the root. And of course, based on the size, the height of that, it's going to be probably a good inch or 3/4 of an inch across. You need to remove that right at the root.
Oh, I see. Well, that's very good, very interesting.
Yeah, otherwise it will take over and you'll lose the red part.
Yeah, well, thank you very much.
Thank you for calling.
Bye for now.
The call there.
Merry Christmas.
Thanks for the call there, Vincent. Yeah, Merry Christmas to you as well. It is hard to believe we are in our second last show of 2023.
And our first show of the winter. Happy winter to you.
That is true. That's right. I think it arrived on the 20th, partway through the day somewhere. First full day of winter, I believe, was the 21st. Yeah.
Yes, and I was saying when we first started the show, we got snow. It's actually beautiful snow when it fell. It was big, like baseball-sized flakes of wet, fluffy snow just came pouring out of the sky. And to this day, my ground is white. I'm still...
Nice.
crossing all my fingers and toes that it'll stay for the next couple of days. But there is rain in the forecast, so I'm not sure if that's going to happen.
Yeah, we're sitting right around the zero mark here in the Collingwood area. We're experiencing rain. I think we might even be at plus one. We still have some snow, but it's fighting. It's fighting to stay on the ground a little bit just because it's just hovering around that zero mark.
I know. So, it's gentle on the garden. We can say that when it's this mild.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, let's go to our next caller. We're going to Maureen. Maureen is from North York. Welcome to the Garden Show, Maureen.
Good morning, Dean. Good morning, Charlie.
Hey. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Welcome back.
Okay, as usual, I was in Whole Foods and I got attracted to something. they have quite a nice plants in there. Anyway, I bought a lemon cypress. And it's a little one, about 8 inches high, and it's nice and it's pretty. But the instructions on the back of it are clearly based for somebody who's put it outside because they told me to keep it frost-free. Well, I got it in the house. So.
Yes, good. Well, you know why? Those are grown in Florida, I think, or California. They're a tropical plant.
Yeah, I figured that. So what's the best thing for me to do to keep it over the winter, and maybe could I put it out? I put it outside, not planted in the ground, but could I put it outside in the spring?
You can. It's a little bit of a tricky one, I find, to keep alive in the winter. It kind of wants conditions that are a little bit hard for us to provide. But here's what I would do: keep it in a spot in your house that is bright. It does not need to be full sun. As a matter of fact, it probably will turn brown if you put it into full sun. But it wants a nice bright spot. It does want to be feel the soil every day. You are going to keep it not wet. It does want to be on the wet side, but then it doesn't want to dry out completely either. So it's not like a jade plant or a cactus where we let it go really dry and then really water it. You're going to keep it sort of a little bit of water every maybe few days, depending on how warm the temperatures are in your house. And just when the surface starts to feel dry, you're going to give it some water, room temperature, preferably water that has sat out overnight. It's a little bit susceptible to some of the salts that are in our water, whether it's chlorine or whatever's in our water. So the more it sits, the water sits out, the better. And morning sun is fine if you've got an eastern window, but otherwise, if it's western or southern, have it, 5, 6, 10 feet away from the window. I would certainly consider a pebble tray below. So that pebble tray idea is just like a tray with pebbles, and the plant sits on top of the pebbles, and you keep water in around the pebbles at all times. And that's just to raise the humidity around the plant. Of course, no drafts, no hot drafts, no cold drafts, don't spritz, but just anything you can do to increase humidity. And assuming it's looking good next spring, when we are frost-free, then for sure, get it outside, start in the shade, and then move it into an indirect sun, early morning sun maybe, nice in a planter. It's a beautiful, beautiful plant. It's soft and it's bright and it's unusual. So for sure, keep it alive and get it out with some nice purple, looks really good with purples and blues. It's just a bright, bright lemon plant. So yeah, go for it.
No, I love it. It's what I call a smiley plant.
good point. It is. It does make you smile. It's really pretty and bright.
Yeah. Now, I often water my plants with water left over from my kettle. Would that be good for that?
Sure. Yeah. You fill your kettle from your tap, right?
I fill it from my tap and boil it. When the water's left over, I pour it into a watering can and I use that to water my, and I cool down, of course, but I use that mostly to water my plants because, as you said, let's have the chlorine in it and all that stuff. Yeah.
Theoretically, it's the boiling does cause some of the minerals to be airborne out of the boiling water. So you're right. It is a clearer water when it's been boiled than when it's not. So sure, why not? As long as it's cool.
Okay. Thank you very much. I knew the expert would tell me what to do.
Good luck, Maureen.
Yeah. Thanks so much for the call, Maureen. Charlie, I use humidifier water. Is that okay?
Yeah, but you're not. Oh, wait, humidifier. But you're putting water in your humidifier.
Sorry, dehumidifier, I meant. Yes.
Yeah, in the summer. We have dehumidifier in the summer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
we
it's great. That's like distilled water, dehumidifier.
Right. Okay, cool. Yeah. We still have one kind of going now a little bit, just because we have a back room from all of our theatrical years. We have costume storage. And so we try and keep that extra dry. And so we keep that running a little bit into the winter as well. We're sort of shutting it down now. But during the year, that's what I use is that water.
Oh, it's perfect. Yeah, yeah. And if you have an aquarium, also perfect for plants. When you're doing that one-third water change.
Yeah.
And of course, aquarium water is not only clean and clear when it comes to things like chlorine, but what it does have in it is fish pee and poo, which is great for the plants.
So, right. And I didn't realize that. And you know, we do have a fish tank and we have forever been just dumping it down the toilet. Yeah. I know. And then lately I said to my wife, no, we have to have
save
at the very
water.
Least. Yeah. If there's too much to use in the house garden, I put it out outside on the on the outside garden because I figure it's not going to do any harm.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I was doing. I was using my dehumidifier all summer. All that water was going out into my garden, particularly when I was getting low on water. But here's a crazy little side story. I love humidity. And of course, I know my indoor plants love humidity. And as winter comes, humidity levels drop. And in my effort to raise the humidity in my house, I bought just a little portable, it's called a cool mist humidifier. Yeah, I plugged it into the wall. And of course, it says in the instructions to use distilled water. And I didn't do that. I ignored those instructions. And I used tap water. Well, what happened was my tap water is soft water and it's full of sodium chloride, which is the stuff we put on our French fries, salt. So what happened is after a couple of days of this running, and, you know, it's cool mist is putting out mist, but it's also putting out white particles, which it turns out are sodium chloride particles, tiny, tiny, you know, white particles of, it looks like dust when it hits the surface of your home. Well, the crazy side story is that we use propane here in our home. We're not on natural gas. So we have a big propane tank and sodium chloride in the presence of heat burns. So all of my propane, my stove, my fireplace, everything was burning yellow from the sodium chloride that was in the air.
Wow.
Of course, you want everything to burn blue, right? To have heat in your stove, you want blue flames, not yellow. It was the biggest puzzle. We had the propane guys came, they brought us another tank, the gas people came, everybody changed regulators. It was this huge puzzle. Everybody scratching their heads like, why are your flames yellow? And it took about a week or 5 days. And then suddenly it was like this epiphany and I turned off the humidifier and everything went back to blue.
That's crazy. That,
I know.
That's like
really crazy.
That's a mystery.
It was. It was a crazy mystery, and it was, and it was like everybody on my street. We all have we all have the same propane supplier. All their flames were blue because I'm knocking on doors, going, "Let me see your stove. My stove is blue. Your stove is mine's yellow. Yours is blue." So it was just happening in our house. Anyway, it was the dumbest thing. And when we figured it out, it was like,
But that's a neat feeling when you figured it out.
I know, but it was like all my fault. It was just dumb. It's just so dumb.
Well, if we just read the directions on the cool mist humidifier, we wouldn't have a problem.
Oh, I read them. I just didn't follow them.
I just didn't follow them. Very good. I'm going to give the numbers out again, Charlie. 416-360-0740 or toll-free 1-866-740-4740. We have another Maureen on the line, and she is calling from Loretto. Welcome to the Garden Show, Maureen.
Thank you. Charlie, I have a question.
Yeah.
I have a question about a Chicago fig tree. It's just small, so every summer I put it outside for the whole summer, let it do its thing. When it gets cold, I'm bringing it in, and of course the leaves drop, but also after a week or so, all the figs drop. Is there any way to keep those figs alive and growing till they mature?
So when you bring it in, you bring it in before frost, obviously.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And where do you put it when you bring it in? Where does it go in your house?
The brightest sunny window that I can get. There is a grow light next to it, but it hasn't been under it. It's near it, but it's not under it.
Mm.
It's because it's too tall to fit under it.
So, you know why? Because I, off the top of my head, I bet you the reason it drops, it's the temperature. So outside, it's probably, what, September when you're bringing it in?
Mm-hmm. Maybe even October, early October,
right,
if the weather's good.
So we're having those outdoor, you know, cool nights, mm-hmm, shorter days, et cetera, et cetera. And then when you bring it into your house where you probably have your heat on by then.
No.
Because I'm just double checking.
It's an eastern-facing window, so it's not like huge bright light.
Right, but you know who's the authority on figs is a gentleman named Stephen Biggs, okay, and he wrote a book called The Fig Pig, and he lives in the Toronto area, so he knows an awful lot about figs. I wonder if he's listening right now. He could just call in and have an answer to your question. Quickly looking here on my computer in front of me, it talks about them being, you know, container-grown plants, drought-tolerant, pest-resistant, yeah, native to Sicily, but they're pretty hard. They're considered one of the more hardy figs,
right,
most cold-tolerant fig trees available. But your problem is the bringing in, and I'm just wondering if they drop figs because of that change, that environmental change when they come in. Thrive, la la la, partial shade, hardy to minus 12 Celsius, it says. But healing them in, wrapping the tree, enough to rebound in the spring. You know what? Good question. I would think that the reason so it's got the baby figs on it. I'm just wondering if there's some way, it's in obviously a container, right? It's outside,
yep,
in a container, and then you,
yep,
bring it in.
Right.
Yeah. And when you bring it in, though, it's got to be a pretty dramatic change, both light level. Okay, so one of the things we do to lower the shock of bringing plants in the fall is they might be out in the garden somewhere getting direct or indirect sunlight. But prior to coming into the house, we start moving them into full shade because we know the light levels are going to drop that dramatically. Mm-hmm. So full shade for 10 days before they come in the house, even if they're going into a window in the house, do we still slowly lower the light levels starting outside before coming inside? Because even though that window is there, there's all UV protection on the window, etc. So into the shade for at least 10 days before into the house. And I'm wondering if maybe you should bring it in earlier so that there's not a huge temperature variable going on there, so that it's a more or like it's a less of a dramatic temperature change for the plant when it comes in. Because most people I know who bring figs in for the winter put them into cool locations, cool and sometimes even fairly dark locations. But bottom line is they go for semi-dormancy for the winter, which with cool temperatures. Do you have something like that, a bright, cool spot?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. And is that where it's going at this point?
Yep, that's where it's at. Yeah.
And what kind of temperatures are in there?
Oh, my house is pretty chilly. It's usually around 60 degrees.
Okay. Yeah, but it's going to prefer more like 50 degrees, like 10 degrees Celsius is going to be really good for just slowing it right down. But then again, all right, you know what? Leave that with me. I might give Stephen a ring if he doesn't ring me and see if he's got any magical tips. And you never know, Stephen might even be willing to join us next week or one day soon to be the fig pig. He knows he's been growing figs since he was a teenager, and he's been doing it in Toronto quite effectively. So he's a good fig guy. So keep listening, and I'll see if I can come up with anything definitive for you.
Okay, thank you so much. Merry Christmas.
Okay.
You
yeah,
too.
Merry Christmas
Merry
to you.
Christmas.
Thank you so much for the call, Maureen.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, Charlie, we have to go to our next break, but we'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed. We are back here on The Garden Show. And Charlie, we've had some interesting patterns today on the show because we had two Maureens in a row. And now I'm looking up at the screen and we have two Gales in a row. And
sweet.
So we're going to go to the first of our two Gales. First one up is from Markham. Ontario. Welcome to the Garden Show, Gail.
Good morning. It's Dale with a D, like Donald. Dale.
It's Dale. And that's Dale. So funny because I am married to a Gail and my brother's name is Dale.
There you go.
So it's Dale. Right. Welcome to the Garden Show,
Good morning.
Dale.
All right. Well, thank you and happy holidays to you both. I have a question.
You too.
Spider plants. Mm-hmm. I have several what used to be big healthy ones. I've had them for years. And the routine was we'd keep them inside in the winter. In the summer, we would put them outside up on shelves, kind of, you know, in the garden, like around the pool. And they did really well. The last couple of years, they've been looking a little, not so great. This year, they look terrible inside. They seem to be rotting from the middle, like the leaves get bad in the middle. So you can just pull them off. When they have baby spiders, the spiders will be half green and half this dried up mess. And I'm not sure if they're just really old.
When was the last time you repotted them?
We repotted them this year when we brought them in.
Oh, this fall.
Yeah.
Okay.
Usually when they come in, they get, a little mad for a while. And then they perk up. But,
It shouldn't be a case of the plants getting really old because you're right. The mother plants might be very old, but the babies are brand new, fresh. So they should be firm and, look good and be worth working with. My heart's kind of going out to you because I had a similar situation with an old spider plant. I must have had it for 20 years in the same pot. And I kept adding soil because the soil kept disappearing. But at some point, there was no soil left. I mean, it was just solid roots. And the plant looked like a dog's breakfast. It was just not a pretty plant. It was, just scraggly as anything. So I just kept a bunch of babies. I just composted mummy, kept a bunch of babies, and have started fresh with a pot full of little baby spiders. And you should be able to do that. Now, since you repotted them, it's probably just a shock thing. But remember, you can let them dry. If this looks like they're rotting, then they might be. It might be that soil is just holding too much moisture, and they're just not ready for that much moisture. Because repotting in the fall is always a bit tough anyway. Plants are not vigorously growing in the fall the way they are in the spring. So consider just ignoring them for a little while, keep them in a bright spot, clean them up, and tell them they're not as ugly as you really think they are. Just talk to them a bit, but just clean up all the messiness and let them really dry down. Worst case, pull the whole thing apart and start again with just some small babies.
Okay. Full disclosure, I threw one out yesterday.
It was so bad,
but I still have several left. I get huge brown masses around where it's coming out of the soil. You know where this big stem comes out of the soil?
Right, but that sounds like the soil is just holding too much moisture. There's too much wetness around. Because they have quite a thick, almost rhizomatous root, right? They're not little fine fibrous roots. They're really thick roots. So let that soil dry right down. That's probably what's going on. You're just keeping them too moist.
All right. I did try a couple of babies, put them in some water for a while, and nothing happened. Like I didn't get any roots coming out of them.
Well, that's probably more because of the time of year. In the fall, they're just slowed right down. It takes much longer to get roots in the fall than it does in the spring. Like you can get roots in about 3 days in the spring, but it'll take 3 or 4 weeks in the fall.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Patience.
Thanks for the call there, Dale. Okay. We should go to our next break first, and then we will come back with our Gail that's on the line. Okay, we'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Welcome back to The Garden Show on Zoomer Radio. And Charlie, let's go right to our next caller. We have Gail on the line calling from Orno. How are you, Gail?
I'm fine, thank you, this morning. And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I'm just wanting to ask about a Peruvian lily. Can you hear me?
Sorry, go ahead,
A Peruvian lily, Alastromeria, something or other. Anyway, I bought it early in the summer, and it was looking very sad, we brought it home, and it did very well all summer, and it's still going. I don't know what to do with it. I brought it, it's potted, of course, brought it in the house, and it's still producing little shoots. There have been hundreds of flowers on it.
Nice.
It's not flowering now, but I'm wondering if I should be digging up. I understand it's a bulb or something.
Mm-hmm.
Should I be digging it up and letting it rest? It just isn't. They're much smaller and they're not flowering now.
Right.
Fertilizing? But
no, you can't fight the plant. So the proper name for Peruvian lily, many people will know it as an amazing cut flower called Ulstromeria.
Yeah.
It's a very long-lasting cut flower. Comes in so many beautiful colors and dappled and dippled and all kinds of beautiful shades of yellows and oranges and pinks and whites. It's a very beautiful plant. But you're right, it does grow from a bulb. So you have to let this plant have a break. When it's stopped flowering, and like you said, it's looking, you know, small and thin, etc., you've just got to let it rest. It wants to be dormant for the winter. It's not, all the fertilizer in the world will not make it flower. It just wants to be left alone. If you've got a cool, dry location, then I would just keep it in the pot. Just put it away in a dark, cool location for the winter. Don't water it. Just let the let it water, you know, let it dry right out so that the bulbs will not rot, and let it sleep for a while. And of course, come February, it'll tell you, it'll start growing. It'll say, oh, time to wake up, and it'll start growing in your dark spot. So that at that point, you can bring it upstairs. So if you can do that, it's kind of like shamrocks or oxalis. A lot of people like to grow them as a houseplant, and they grow from little tiny bulbs, and they really start to shrivel up as the winter goes on, and then they get all perky right around St. Patrick's Day and start growing like crazy. So same kind of thing. You'll just basically let this plant rest, and then it'll wake itself up.
Okay. So could I put it in a cold room? Is that too cold? I mean, it's not freezing or anything there, but...
It's fine as long as it's above zero. As long as you're 3, 4, 5 degrees, you're perfect. Just put it away.
Okay, and then start fertilizing it February or March.
Yeah, well, first you'll bring it out into the warmth in your house, and you'll give it some sun, maybe not bright sun to start with, but you'll start, you know, a bright spot, warm temperatures. When it starts to grow, like follow the indications from the plant, it will start to grow. It'll start to respond to the warmth and to the, you know, the heat, the sun. And as that starts to happen by probably late March or April, you will start to fertilize again. Yeah.
Okay. That's wonderful. Okay. Thank you very much.
And
I enjoy your show, we enjoyed your talk to us in Orono at the Horticultural Society a few weeks ago. It was great.
Yeah, that was so much fun. That was great. I love that. Orono, you're a great, great bunch of people. So, yes, indeed. But do keep the bulbs that we're talking about in the pot, when you bring them out of the cold cellar and they're bone dry, do water a little bit to start, and just keep moist, just a slow process. As it wakes up, the plant will use more water. Yeah. All right.
Okay. Sounds wonderful. Thank you very much. And best of the season.
Merry Christmas. Yeah.
Thanks so much for the call there, Gail.
Thank you.
Thank you. I was just thinking, you know, Charlie, it is so good that, you know, I didn't start doing this garden show with you many years ago, because as I was having children, I might have been tempted to give them names like Ulstromeria and Philodendron and stuff like that.
I wanted
and then
to.
My kids would have grown up and hated me. Where did you get the name Ulstromeria?
Yeah, spell that. I know. I tried that. Everybody, I was like roundly shut down by every family member I know. I wanted to name my daughter Shizanthus, but nobody.
No, we're good. And Elliot's just looking at you going, what?
What? But what a great name, Shizanthus.
Yeah.
Anyway, I love it.
Yeah.
No,
it's great.
I have a Sydney instead of a Shizanthus. So and I was going to name my son Dusty Miller.
I love it.
But love it didn't work. Yeah, nobody.
A good Christmas present for all our kids that we didn't give them those names. Okay. We have one more caller. And this is a comment about the fig tree that we were talking about. We have Raka on the line calling from Brampton. Welcome to the Garden Show, Raka.
Good morning. It's Raka.
Raka, sorry. Okay, thank you.
All right.
And happy holidays to you.
Thank you.
And she's Merry a Christmas to you. Too.
Oh, first time caller.
Wings.
Here we are.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I was calling about the fig tree because I heard it this morning, and the only way to keep those things alive is to put them in the garage.
Cold.
And yes, because I guess, like you said, it was, I think they last till minus 12 or something. Mm-hmm. And my husband, he passed away this year, early in the year, but he used to bring them in at the end of October, and mm-hmm. they did have figs on them, and they actually matured and ripened mm-hmm. in the garage.
In the garage. Oh, in
right.
the cool
we
garage.
Would have
and
figs
dark?
For quite a mm-hmm. while. This year I got a breba crop. I didn't do the shuffle. You're supposed to do the fig shuffle. You bring them out and then you bring them back in and to acclimatize them to the outdoors. Uh-huh. We brought them straight out into the backyard. I put them under the gazebo so that they wouldn't get scorched by the sun, the new leaves. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I got the breba crop in the beginning. In the end of July, I got quite a few figs. And then those ones grow on the old wood from the year
right.
before. And then the new figs come in. And because the breba crop started ripening in July, the end of July, the main crop didn't start growing until all those were done. So this year, I think I'm going to probably get a breba crop, and we put them all in the garage. And they're mm-hmm. I haven't wrapped them yet. My husband used to wrap them with cardboard, and we put them on the pallets so they're not right on
up
the ground.
Off the concrete, yeah.
Right, and we've had figs. I've got at least 10, 12 pots.
Wow.
And that's a lot of figs.
Yeah, Stephen would like to visit you, I bet. That's Stephen Biggs of the Fig Pig book.
It's impressive.
Same kind of thing. Like figs, I mean, nothing like a fresh fig. I think that that's what drives people to want to do that. So that's lovely. Well, thank you for that information. Hopefully Maureen is still listening from Loretto and will follow your suggestions there. Tell me about your garage. Is there any light in your garage at all?
Yes, I have the door to the garage, the slim door, I guess. It has a window in it, and then I put we put in the new front doors with the glass on the top, so there is light in there. But because all the leaves have to drop, it has to go into dormancy. If you bring it in the house a long time ago, way back in the 70s, we did have a tree, and my husband brought it into the garage, into the cantina in the basement, but it didn't survive because it's too warm in the house.
Right. Makes sense. Gosh. Brilliant. Thank you so much for your insights, Rocca. And Merry Christmas to you. We'll have to let you go because we're at the time to go. Mm-hmm. As much as we love to keep chit-chatting about gardening, we got to go.
Yeah. Well, listen, thanks, Charlie, Merry Christmas to you.
Mm-hmm. And to you too, and Ashy, both of you.
Yes.
I hope you have a lovely holiday break. If you do get any kind of a break, I know there's not much break in radio, but nevertheless, thank you, both of you. And Merry Christmas. Lots of good sweets and food coming your way, I hope. And
indeed.
See you all again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.